When I was learning New Testament or Koine Greek, our teacher told us that she loved Greek so much that she learned to speak New Testament Greek. When she took a trip to Greece, she brought unending amusement to every Greek she met. This is Wyoming Catholic College's weekly podcast, The After Dinner Scholar, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. In the past few weeks, I've introduced two of our three new faculty, Dr. Paul Giesting and Dr. Daniel Shields. Today, I want to introduce Professor Stephen Hill. Professor Hill joins us to teach humanities and to teach in our Latin program, which, of course, is taught as spoken Latin. Professor Hill is also an expert in speaking ancient Attican Greek, and he'll tell us more about that. I began by asking Professor Hill to tell us a bit about himself and his family.
Sure. So I grew up in Florida, in Central Florida, and met my wife in college in Tennessee. And we've been in Tennessee, Illinois, Kentucky, and Virginia, and now we're here.
Well, you went to Bryan College.
I did.
I have a nephew that went to Bryan College.
Really?
And
okay.
That's not a Catholic school.
No, it's not.
When did you come into the church?
In 2020, actually, on Pentecost.
Wow.
Yeah. But I had started looking at Catholicism very closely soon after I finished my undergraduate work almost 10 years ago now.
In addition to Latin, you can speak ancient Greek.
Yes.
Classical Greek, not New Testament Greek. How did you get interested in ancient languages and in the classics?
Sure. So that goes back to my experience as an undergraduate when I was studying Spanish and French and Greek, although actually I should go back a step further. The reason I'm interested in ancient languages or became interested in ancient languages originally is thanks to C.S. Lewis when I read his description of reading Homer in the original Greek in his autobiography, Surprised by Joy. And that's when I decided I have to be able to do that too. That sounds so wonderful. I need to have that skill. So I went to college and was able to learn Greek, but then I became intrigued with the differences in how ancient and modern languages were taught, and that's what led me into speaking ancient languages rather than only translating them.
Now, your dissertation for your doctorate at the University of Virginia is underway, and what are you writing about, and how did that reflect your interests?
Sure. So that deals with the figure of Heracles in imperial Greek literature. So this is somewhat outside the normal realm of the curriculum here at the college. But the authors I'm working on were great students of the Greek and some of the Roman authors as well in our curriculum. And so I'm looking at how they use the figure of Heracles, who is sometimes a god, sometimes a mortal on his way to being a god, and who often is associated with choices, for example, between virtue and vice. And I'm trying to understand more fully what these authors thought Heracles meant.
Hercules.
Yes.
Okay, for our listeners who might not be familiar with that. Now, you've taught summer language programs in both classical Greek and Latin. Tell us about those programs.
Sure, that actually connects back to your earlier question about my journey to Catholicism. The first place I taught intensive summer language courses was at the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross in Rome. I was teaching Greek there and taught there for several summers, taught at Ave Maria in Florida, and currently I'm working with the Polis Institute in Jerusalem to run summer courses at Christendom College in Virginia. And so I actually went to Rome the first time to the Santa Croce, the Holy Cross, to study spoken Greek. So I had become intrigued by the prospect of doing so. I'd never done it, but I thought maybe this will help me learn Greek better than I've ever been able to before. And so I heard that there was someone doing that in a summer course in Rome, and there I was, and I was asked to come back and teach the following year, and that I've been doing that in some form or another ever since.
Have you been to Greece? And I ask you that question because I started my introduction talking about a teaching fellow I had, a Greek teaching fellow, but The Greek she loved was New Testament Greek,
okay.
And she became able to speak it. And she went to Greece to the amusement of every Greek she met. have you had the same experience?
Ironically, given that I've spent so much time working on Greek literature and speaking ancient Greek, I have not been to Greece, strangely enough. But the spoken ancient Greek world is a small one, so I wonder if we might have a mutual acquaintance there.
And you've also done programs in spoken Latin.
Yes. The teaching and administrative work I've done so far has focused more on Greek, but I've also been involved in spoken Latin programs.
And what will you be teaching here at Wyoming Catholic?
So this semester I have the entire sophomore class for Latin, and I'm enjoying that very much. And this semester I'm also teaching Humanities 101, so reading Greek literature in translation with the freshmen.
Well, let me ask you about the humanities first. Freshman humanities begins with the Iliad, right?
Yes.
And how do modern college students respond to this not at all modern epic?
Right. It's always an interesting question. How do we introduce something like the Iliad so that we can both evaluate it but also enter into it? Before doing too much evaluation, first seek to understand and then seek to be understood. In our case, first seek to understand and then try to evaluate and make some judgments and so on and so forth. So we started actually today. We read the Homeric hymns last week, so short sort of preludes to the longer Iliad and Odyssey. Today we started in on the Iliad. And we talked about the Homeric value system, the code of honor that these heroic warriors live by. And we left it as an open question as to whether we approve, or to the extent to which we approve of their decisions and their judgments.
From a modern point of view, it seems like Achilles is just a little bit of a spoiled child.
Exactly.
You know, letting people die all around him because he's pouting about his prize being taken away.
Right. And that's always sort of the touchstone in book one. What do we do with the anger of Achilles? Is it possible to understand it as something more than, as you were saying, just sort of the anger of a spoiled child who's had his prize taken away? And so I think that's what we'll be working towards over this course of the semester, trying to understand what motivates him and how it makes sense given the value code that he's working with. And of course, there are characters in the Iliad who criticize his actions as well.
Yeah. What other books will you all be reading?
So after the Iliad, we move to the Odyssey. So the bulk of the semester is spent on Homer. And then we read several Greek tragedies. Antigone, the Bacchae, a couple of Sophocles' plays about Oedipus, and we close with Plato's Phaedrus and Symposium.
Is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to? You know, something maybe you've read, but I can't wait to reread that.
Sure. Yeah, it's hard to choose because there's really such a wealth in the humanities classes and in this one in particular. But I would say I'm looking forward very much to finishing the semester with Plato's Symposium. I think that will be a wonderful way to try to look back over what we've learned about the Greek way of thinking and what we've experienced in Greek literature, and then point the way forward to the next course in the sequence where we'll get to do even more.
Now, regarding Latin, what is your hope for your students? I mean, beyond simply not being completely confused about the subjunctive.
That is an important hope about the subjunctive, yes. Beyond the subjunctive.
I mean, do you hope that they will be conversant in Latin? Or is that possible? Or
it's certainly possible. I think, you know, there are different ways to approach a four-semester course sequence in Latin. I think I would like my students by the end of four semesters to be comfortable speaking Latin, maybe not being able to say everything they might want to say, not necessarily being able to have the most intense philosophical discussions in Latin, but have the resources to talk to other people in Latin, speakers that they've never seen before, maybe not share a native language with, and also have the tools available to them to continue developing their Latin competency if that's what they wish to do, and also to know from their experience learning Latin as a spoken language that they can then go on and learn any language that they might want to or need to in the future.
Will you be part of the Latin trip over Outdoor Week?
I will indeed, yes.
And tell us about that.
So this Latin outdoor trip will be a little bit different in my understanding from what has been done before. It will be closer to lander than is usual, and the goal there is to allow more faculty to participate. And so the students will be camping, and I believe some faculty at least will be camping as well out there, but there will be other faculty who can come out just for the morning or for a day, part of a day. And so we're hoping to have even more of a community of Latin speakers out there. We'll run some conversation sessions in the morning, and then in the afternoon, we're planning to go on various adventures in and around Sinks Canyon.
That's great. Now, one other question. Have you taught your children to speak Latin yet?
I have, in fact, yes. We are a bilingual household, and Latin is one of the languages.
On the topic of ancient languages and ancient literature, there is no more important ancient work for Catholics than the Holy Scriptures. The Old Testament fed the mind and heart of our Lord as he grew up and throughout his life. And the New Testament tells us about that life, and with the teaching of the apostles, the meaning of that life in the first century, today, and through the ages. Yet how many of us have a firm grasp on the Bible? Last spring, Wyoming Catholic College presented the first half of the adult distance learning course, Reading Your Bible for All It's Worth. This fall, beginning Thursday, September 16th, we'll present the second half of that series, looking at the basic biblical genres, historical, poetic, wisdom, prophetic, gospel, epistle, and apocalyptic. Tuition is free, so visit our website, wyomingcatholic.edu, today to sign up. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.